This is your White Sox station, Sports Radio 78, WBBM Chicago.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. In his Psalm of Life, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow says, "Trust no future, howe'er pleasant. Let the dead past bury its dead. Act, act in the living present." The trouble is that the past so often refuses to stay in its place, and the dead invade the living present, or at least the memory of them does, to shadow both it and the future. As you will find out if you listen to this particular tale.
Wait a minute, Buck. Are you suggesting that Joe Coslow had anything to do with Pete Stein's death?
That's what I've got to talk to you about. Because Andy Hassler and Tom Pierce also died on that same date. I want to tell you, buddy, I am scared stiff. I figure one of us has got to be next.
Mystery drama, This Deadly Fraternity, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Jack Grimes. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
It's your way of looking good. You're looking good. Having fun in summer like you should.
Add some beautiful color to your summer with Avon's exciting new color cream makeup. Moisturizing makeup with color that lasts and lasts. Long summer days.
You've got lots of things to do, so we bring Avon right to you. It's Avon, summer ready. You never look so good.
Where is that clerk?
Can I help you?
We have to see the hotel manager.
Right away.
I'll get him.
And hurry. Oh, John.
It's okay.
Our vacation's ruined.
Don't worry, honey. Please, maybe we can find someone who'll
help. Hi, I'm the hotel manager.
Well, listen, we've lost our traveler's checks.
All of them. What should we do?
Well, what kind were they?
American Express. Right.
American Express. Come on, I've got their number right here.
You can call for help anytime from anywhere in the country with American Express traveler's checks. Ask for them by name.
Hi, Charlie. Say, what's the latest on the Club X takeover?
Maybe there's something in this morning's business section. Just a sec. Fashions, entertainment.
You never have to hunt for the business news when you read the Wall Street Journal, because the journal's all business. First page to last.
Crosswords, sports.
Charlie.
Getting warm. Community news, weather.
The journal gives you more of the important business news than any newspaper business section can, in greater depth than any business section can.
Travel, religion.
Charlie.
Wait a minute. TV listings, comments.
It's simple. For all the business news, read the one daily publication that's all business. The Wall Street Journal.
Gardening and...
Bye, Charlie.
Gossip, pets.
Start reading the Wall Street Journal every business day. Pick up your copy at any newsstand. When you do, you'll be picking up the best source of business information available. Find out just how much up-to-the-minute, helpful, in-depth business information you can get. The Wall Street Journal. All the business news you need, when you need it.
So very long ago, a bank was a temple, a hallowed place of mystery. Its high priests were the executive officers in three-button vested suits cut from conservative serge. The gleaming marble floors echoed one's footsteps, which rang hollowly over the hushed whisper of the business of transacting money. Most banks are very different today. In the hustle of advertising, the giveaways, the constant battle to win depositors. But not all. Some remain just as forbidding, as, for example, the First Continental Bank of Cleveland, whose president is the formidable M.J. Trimble.
Yes, Miss Proud. Who? Harold Clark? Oh, Clark, yes. Yes, send him in. Here we see now, where was I? Come in.
You wish to see me, Mr. Trimble?
Yes, come in. Close the door.
Yes, sir.
Now then, how's everything going along at Mortgages and Loans, Clark?
Well, all right, I think. Have I done something wrong?
I don't know, Clark. Have you?
No, sir.
Well, then
I mean...
Why bring up such nonsense? I just asked a friendly question. It so happens that for a certain reason I find I have an interest in you. How long have you been with us now?
Just a little under a year.
Came over to us from Metro Bank, I believe.
That's right, sir.
After 7 years there. Certainly took time for you to see the error of your ways. I mean, after all, we old craftsmen should stick together.
Sir?
Your college, Clark, your college. Didn't you graduate from Holcraft?
Well, yes, Mr. Trimble, I did.
Well, there you are. So did I.
I know that, sir. You're one of our most distinguished alumni.
Oh, well. Yet as old as I am, they have to say something nice about you. What was your fraternity?
I sort of dropped out, sir.
Oh, I'm disappointed to hear that, Clark. The best days of a man's life. What was your affiliation?
Tau Alpha Gamma.
Well, then we'll have to see what we can do about reinstating you. You're going up to homecoming, of course.
Are you going, Mr. Trimble?
Oh. Haven't missed one in 36 years. Come to think of it, I don't remember ever seeing you at any of them.
Well, I'll tell you the truth, sir. I've never been to one.
Oh, it's a shame. Now, you come up this year. We'll see what we can do about making you a Tau Alpha Gamma again.
Yes, sir.
So, how nice to have had this talk.
That's all, Mr. Trimble?
Yes. I just wanted to get acquainted with a fellow collegiate. Sorry it took so long. You get back once a year to see the old alma mater. Keep up the good work here, and we'll be glad to have you aboard.
I don't see what's got you in such a lather, Harry.
Helen, I just got through telling you.
So your boss suggests you should go off on a little jaunt to your college homecoming. What's so terrible?
He didn't suggest. It's an order.
All right. If it'll keep the old boy happy, it's no skin off your back, is it? You might even have a good time.
I won't have a good time.
All right, then. Don't go.
If I want to keep my job, I've got to go. That's the message I got today, loud and clear.
Nonsense.
Oh, it's true.
Sometimes I wonder about you, Harry.
Huh?
Honey, what is it makes you so uptight all the time? You're like Chicken Little, always afraid the sky is going to fall on you.
I'm sorry, Helen.
I always have a feeling that something haunts you. Way down deep, like it was something you buried a long time ago and keep being afraid wouldn't stay that way.
Oh, now you're being silly. There's hardly a thing in my life you don't know about. There's nothing wrong with us.
I'm terrified there is.
What do you mean?
Is it because I've never given you a child?
Oh, come on, honey. We've had that out long ago.
One of these days...
Oh, come on, honey. When it's meant to, it'll happen. Now, in the meantime, who's complaining?
I guess maybe I am.
Oh.
I find it gets sort of lonely around the house days, and now that you're going off on a weekend jaunt with the big boss and starting to plan nights out with the boys...
Hey, hold on. Wait a minute. I'm not going with MJ. I'll have to get there by myself, and... What's all this about going out nights with the boys?
Well, isn't one of the ideas you're going to join up with your old fraternity again?
No.
But I thought that was part of M.J. Trimble's master plan for you.
I don't want to have anything more to do with Tau Alpha.
Why? Didn't you have a good time there?
No. Yeah. I mean, it's not my style.
I think maybe you ought to make it your style.
Look, let's stop talking about it. It just doesn't matter.
I think it does.
No, I'm not going.
Harry, now there's that old bugaboo again. Why are you so afraid of going back to a college you graduated from with honors?
It isn't the college. It's...
I'll get it. Hello?
Hello? Mrs. Clark?
Yes.
MJ Trimble here. I wonder if I could speak to your husband.
How do you do, Mr. Trimble? Of course. It'll just take a moment to get him. He's in the other room.
Who is it? Why did you say I was in the other room?
It's Mr. Trimble. And I wanted to give you a chance to think before you talk to him.
Why? What does he want?
I don't know. But before you answer him, think, darling.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Helen, give me the phone.
Hello, Mr. Trimble.
Clark? Boomer Johansson just called me, and he won't be able to make it next week. He'll be out of the country on State Department business. You remember the old Boomer?
Yeah, well, I don't believe
the class of 38. Old Crap's first All-American. Anyway, since he had to cancel, that means there'll be an empty seat on our bank's jet. So, I'll fly you up and fly you back. Can I count on you?
Yes, Mr. Trimble. That's very kind of you, sir.
Nothing at all, my boy. Just gives you a notion what a fraternity brother can mean to you. Especially a big one. I'll have my secretary give you the flight time and any other pertinent details.
Well, what happened?
Why, he hung up.
What did he want?
He wants to fly me up to the homecoming.
And you accepted?
I didn't know how not to.
Oh, honey, I'm glad you did. I promise you, you'll never regret it.
I sure hope so.
Familiar to you, Clark?
Yeah, sort of, Mr. Trimble. It's a little different from the air.
Yeah. Well, there's the lake off to your left.
Uh-huh.
And up on the bluff beyond it, there's our alma mater. We'll be coming on in right over Devil's Leap on our landing pattern.
Devil's Leap?
Yeah. You ever have to scale that southeast face there?
No, sir, I never did.
Oh, that used to be one of the big features of Hell Week. Well, they cut it out some years ago, probably before your time. Well, maybe they were right. A couple of weak sisters took some bad falls there. One of them was killed, I think. Still and all, it was a real thrill for a fella to climb that bleak old rock face. Give you a sense of power and belief in yourself. I suppose they took it easier on you in your day. The hazing, I mean.
No, sir. It was pretty tough.
Well, you minded that?
Oh, no, sir, I didn't. Not then.
Oh, look there.
Well, what's that, sir?
Don't you recognize it? Right near the bluff? Last house on the row there. That's the old tower of a house. Recognize her now?
Well, never forget it.
Found anyone you know yet, Clark?
No, not yet, Mr. Trimble.
Oh, well, you will. I'll have to leave you now. I've got a meeting of the Board of Governors over at the old frat house. I'll put in a good word for you. Where are you staying?
Ralston House.
Fine. You check for a message from me before you turn in. With any luck, it'll be word that you're reinstated without prejudice to membership in Tau Alpha Gamma. Now, you look for that message.
Oh, brother.
Hey! Hmm? Harry! Is that you, old Harry the horse?
Buckstat? Well, for Pete's sake. I was wondering when I'd run into somebody I knew.
Oh, you're a sight for sore eyes. Hey, where have you been keeping yourself all these years?
Working, getting married, you know. Yeah, how about you?
I was married, but it didn't take. No kids. You?
Uh-uh.
Maybe it's just as well.
What does that mean?
Forget it. This isn't the place. But, later, I gotta talk to you. I'm glad I found you here.
I don't know why I came. There's too many memories. Any of the others here?
No, we're all that's left, Harry.
What? What about Tom Pierce?
Oh, he died a couple of years ago. Drowned.
Gosh. Andy Hassler?
Oh, he's gone. He fell off a building. Jumped, some people said.
Wasn't he in real estate?
Yeah. He died 3 years ago. And, we might as well get it over with as fast as possible. Pete Stein died in the hospital after an appendicitis attack last year.
Oh, man. Well, that only leaves Joe Coslow. Any idea what happened to him?
I lost track of him after the army busted him.
Busted him?
Stuck the killer in the brig.
Silly old nicknames. For what?
For manslaughter. He half-killed a recruit. His nickname wasn't so silly.
The leopard never changes his spots, I guess. Is he still in the brig?
No.
How do you know?
After Pete Stein got his, I got an army buddy to check for me. Coslow's stretch was over September 28th, 1976. 17 days before Pete died. October 15th.
October 15th? The same day that Phil Fowler.
Yeah.
Oh, are you suggesting that the killer had anything to do with Pete's death?
Well, that's what I gotta talk to you about. Because Andy and Tom died on the same date, too. I wanna tell you, I'm scared stiff, Harry. I figure one of us has got to be next.
What do you suppose happened to six members of the class of 34 at Holcroft College that would make them candidates for sudden death? I did promise you that the dead past was going to invade the present, and it seems as if it has, with a vengeance. Now, was that just a cliche phrase or prophetic? I shall return shortly with Act Two.
Oh, great master.
Yes?
My daughter and I have traveled far to seek your wisdom.
Is that your daughter with the,
bag over her head?
Bag.
Yes. Say hello, April.
Hi.
Why is she,
her cream rinse gives her hair the greasy...
Oh, Daddy.
Yes, that bag looks like it held a 6-year supply of French fries.
Thanks.
What can we do, sire?
Well, let's see here. Take the root of the imbo bush.
I tried that.
The juice of the beagleberry.
Look, nothing works. I'll have permanent greasies. Oh, no.
Now, look, I'll tell you what my kids use. Agree cream rinse and conditioner.
Agree?
Yes, agree cream rinse and conditioner. Conditioner is 99% oil-free.
Oh.
So it helps stop the greasies.
No more greasies. That won't have to brown bag it.
Yes, my daughter's hair became so beautiful, she was elected homecoming queen at Guru U.
Wow.
How can I thank you for telling me about Agree?
Give me some advice. Should I let my daughter wear pantyhose?
How old is she?
28.
Oh, then I think...
Both legs?
Yes, both.
Fine.
You can search the wide world over and may never find anything that can help stop the greasies better than Agree cream rinse and conditioner. And be sure and try Agree shampoo. It helps stop the greasies, too.
Handel's oratorios. The symphonies of Brahms, Mozart, and Beethoven. The piano music of Chopin. The concertos of Rachmaninoff. The music of Tchaikovsky. The rhapsodies of Liszt. The operas of Wagner. The ballets of Stravinsky. The great masterpieces of man are also the great masterpieces of our forests. Take away the wood in pianos, organs, and harpsichords, and you take away the medium through which these geniuses communicated their inspiration. A symphony of life abounds in every tree, in every forest. Please allow that music to be appreciated by our children and our children's children. Only Bach could have written the Toccata and Fugue in D minor. But only you can prevent forest fires. A public service of this station, the Smokey Bear Program, and the Ad Council.
It's a bright fall afternoon in late October, mild and balmy. The last rosy glow of Indian summer.
But as Harry Clark strolls under the profusion of red gold leaves along a winding, deserted path on the campus, icy fingers clutch at his insides. His old classmate, Buck Stanley, is reeling out a string of coincidence and conjecture, building to a conclusion that shakes him to the core. For what Buck is saying confirms the premonition that has dogged him all the way up on this trip to the past.
Knock it off, Buck. What are you trying to give me? A warning, Harry. At the very least.
What? That I'm next on the hit list?
It has to be you or me.
Oh, come on. What kind of rib is this?
Look, Harry, there were six of us in on it. Only one of us took any kind of real rap for it. The killer. He got bounced from school. It wrecked his life.
And you want to tell me that he's coming back for revenge on all of us? It just won't wash, Buck.
Why not?
First off, because... Well, the way you tell it, there wasn't a shred of evidence that Pete and Andy and Tom's deaths were anything but natural.
Except that each one of them died on the 15th of October, each just 1 year apart, and all of them after Joe Coslow was sprung out of the brig.
Oh.
Plus one other thing. You know what the 15th of October is.
Yeah, I'm not likely to forget.
So?
You said that Tom Pierce was drowned. How?
Well, all I know is what I got from the newspaper story I looked up in the library. He drowned in his pool.
What about Andy? I didn't see anything about it. Where did he fall from?
Oh, some two-bit hotel. They kind of hushed it up as much as possible. I went to the funeral. You remember he married Sarah Templeton?
He did?
Yeah. She took it pretty bad. I got the notion he'd been messing around with some other dame.
Suicide?
Yeah. I thought so then.
Well, now you don't think he jumped. You think he was pushed.
Yep.
And you don't think Tom just drowned by accident. You think the killer helped him somehow.
Yep.
Well, if you don't believe it was an accident, it could have been suicide also, couldn't it?
It could.
And Pete, a ruptured appendix. You can't make murder out of that.
They all died on the same date, Harry. Now, how far can you stretch coincidence?
It doesn't have to be coincidence. Let's be sensible. Look, after what happened, none of us were ever quite the same. We've all carried our own guilt feelings, I guess. I know I have. About Phil Fowler.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll never get that kid out of my mind.
Neither could Andy and Tom, it looks like.
You're telling me they took their own lives because they were remorseful or something?
All your old army buddy told you was that the killer was supposed to be released on September 28th, 76. We don't know he was. For all we know, he could have been kept in another year or anything. Do you know where he was in the brig?
Well, in Germany, I guess. That's where he was stationed.
Ah, you see? Now, isn't it crazy? He could get back to the States within 17 days and somehow manage to knock off Tom in his own pool. And why would he wait a whole year to go after Andy? And another one for Pete, if he'd been nursing a grudge all this time. Like I say, Buck, you're flipping your lid over nothing. It just doesn't hold water.
Okay, you win. Harry, I want to believe you. You could be right. You make a lot of sense. Keeping a thing like this bottled up, I suppose a guy does get wacky ideas. And that killer Coslow.
Yeah, he made the same impression on me, but we were kids then. He doesn't scare me anymore.
How'd you enjoy your weekend on the old campus, son?
Well, I don't know if I can quite tell you, Mr. Trimble, how much.
Teach you to stay away from homecomings, eh?
I guess.
You look a whale of a lot better than when you came up. You feel better?
Yes, I do, sir. I got a lot of things straightened out in my head.
I'm going to tell you something frankly, Harry. When I put up your name for reinstatement and they opened the books for me, I was shaken. Here I was sponsoring or trying to sponsor someone who walked out on us in the middle of his sophomore year. Now, don't interrupt me. You know me. I couldn't leave it like that. So I started digging. And the whole story came out.
About Phil Fowler?
Yes. Unfortunate thing. Terrible thing. Nobody's fault. Or if anyone's the culprit was suitably punished for it, that should be the end of it.
It's a matter I hope is closed for the rest of my life.
Darling, I can't tell you how happy and delighted I am.
About what?
You.
Oh, is there something new with me?
You know there is. Ever since you came back from your big rah-rah weekend, you've been a different person. You're the man I married again. What happened up there, Harry?
Where?
At dear old Holcroft.
Something I do have to tell you, Helen, someday.
Why not now?
No, not yet. Going back, I got a couple of things in perspective, at least. I should have gone back years ago, then it mightn't have haunted me so much. I don't want it to start haunting me again.
Why don't you tell me?
Oh, okay. Let me turn off the radio. When I went to Holcroft, there was a guy two classes ahead of me called Joe Coslow. He looked like King Kong. I was scared of him. Well, we were all scared of him. He could have broken any of us in two. We called him Killer Coslow.
Wasn't he a football player?
Yeah. Holcroft's only two-time All-American, a fullback. The guy was a twisted, terrifying bully. I ought to know. He was the one who put me and all my closest friends through our hazing when we were bid to Tau Alpha Gamma.
He was a fraternity brother of yours?
We belonged to the same fraternity. He was no brother. He was just what he was nicknamed. A killer.
You mean he hurt you?
Tom Pierce, Sandy Hassler, Pete Stein, Buck Stanley, me. And we all had scars enough to prove that, but they don't matter. They didn't last. Phil Fowler wasn't so lucky.
I don't think I've ever heard you mention him.
Well, you haven't. I've been too ashamed to.
Why?
Because we killed Phil. All six of us killed him.
Well, what do you mean?
Five of us were sophomores. Killer was a senior. He organized all the hazing. He liked that. And he had everyone so intimidated, we were scared to question him. It was the end of Hell Week, and Phil Fowler was freshman pledged to us. We were the fraternity to belong to on our campus. And to get in, any kid was ready to bust his butt. So the killer was going to make sure he did. Over our objections, he decreed Phil had to go through a trial by fire.
What does that mean?
Well, he made Phil strip and told us all to light cigarettes. Then he told Phil we were going to grind them out on his bare skin after he was blindfolded.
Oh, the rest of you went along with that?
It was a trick, Helen, just mental suggestion. All we'd have done was touched him with a piece of ice.
I don't understand.
The power of suggestion. You're conditioned the victim so that he thinks he's being burned. But just the same, none of us wanted to go through with it.
And did you?
No. Because Phil was so scared that while we were arguing, he ran for the door and took off into the night.
Did you go after him?
You're darn right. Listen, it was October 15th. We'd had a cold snap that year, and it was below freezing. And Phil was in his birthday suit.
You found him and dragged him back?
We didn't find him. It was a pitch black night, and there were thick woods between the fraternity house and the lake. The whole killer was fit to be tied, but we were all relieved. Till the next morning.
The next morning?
There's a bluff called the Devil's Leap right near the Tau Alpha house.
It's a 200-foot drop to the lake shore. They found Phil there with a broken neck. In the dark, he must have run right off the cliff.
Oh, how awful.
There was an investigation. Very hush-hush, of course. The verdict was accidental death. Only it wasn't. We killed him.
But you didn't. It was all that killer Coslow's fault.
That's what the Chancellor and the Deans decided. Tom and me and the others were allowed to stay on at college. Coslow was expelled. He promised us all he'd be back someday to get even with us.
But he never did.
No. I kept thinking he would, but as the years went by, I accepted it as just a threat.
And that's what you told your friend Buck?
Because I believed it. Then.
You don't believe it now?
No. I've carried the guilt too long. I'm terrified that somehow it's going to catch up with me.
How?
I don't know. If the 15th comes and goes, then maybe I can relax.
And if it doesn't?
Well, there's a 50-50 chance I won't be around to worry. Because if Joe Coslow is on the loose and out for revenge, it's only a question which one of us will be first. Buck Stanley or me?
And though circuitous and obscure, the feet of Nemesis, how sure. Those are the lines of the Victorian poet Sir William Watson. And Nemesis is the ancient Greek goddess of retribution who takes many forms. Is the form in this case the hulking figure of the brooding, brutal killer Coslow? I shall return shortly with Act 3.
A message from CBS News. As the Democrats build their convention platform, many Americans have questions about the vital issues the party will debate in San Diego.
I'm making about the same amount of money that I made a year ago, but it's costing me about 25% more to live now, so actually I've got, like, not a pay raise, but I've been demoted in pay.
Do the Democrats have an answer? Complete convention coverage begins Monday, August 11th on the CBS television network.
You bet I'll be watching.
Dave Collins of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Does Quaker State really help cars last?
Yes, sir. Quaker State sure does. I own a 73 Chevy Nova. It's got over 100,000 on it, and I've used Quaker State in it all the time. All except for the first mile when the car was first purchased. So I regularly tune my car, points plus Quaker State, the whole nine yards. I'm real enthused about the product. Even started using the Quaker State filter.
Quaker State helps cars last. Maybe that's why Quaker State is America's number one selling motor oil.
When you're ready, really ready, we'll be there when you are.
Delta is ready to fly.
Yes, we're ready to fly.
Go steady with the Ready Airline to New Orleans, Houston, or St. Louis. Delta has the most flights to New Orleans, 3 nonstops and 5 through jets. Plus 3 timely nonstops to Houston, including the only wide-ride TriStar on any airline. Nobody beats Delta with nonstops to St. Louis, either. Choose from 10 a day. What's more, we're ready to save you money with thrifty night coaches and supreme super saver fares to all these places. Get the details from Delta or your travel agent. And when you're ready to go to New Orleans, Houston, or St. Louis, we'll be looking for you.
Delta is ready.
This is WBBM Chicago.
Omar Khayyam wrote, "'Tis all a checkerboard of nights and days, where destiny with men for pieces plays." That seems totally contradictory to the American belief in free choice. Yet, when you come right down to day-to-day living, how many of us have the strength to exercise it? Instead, in common with people all over the rest of the world, we find ourselves prisoners of the past and hostages to our future, as Harry Clark finds himself now.
Harry. Harry? 7 o'clock. Time to get up.
I don't want to get up.
You don't want to be late for the bank, do you?
Oh, I didn't mean because of the bank. I'm afraid to get up.
Why?
Oh, you know what date this is?
I know. Darling.
What?
Promise me something.
What?
I know the day has got to be lived through. But once we're through with this 15th of October, can we please wash it out of our lives for good?
Yeah, I hope. I hope as much as you that we can.
Will you be late tonight?
Yeah, probably. I'll be reconciling the books and we'll all be locked in the cage till they prove out.
That's good.
Hmm?
You'll be safe. Hello?
Hello. Is this Mrs. Clark?
That's right.
This is Buck Stanley. I'm an old friend of your husband's.
Oh, yes, I know. We've been talking a lot about you.
I don't mean to be rude, Mrs. Clark, but this isn't a social call. Is Harry there?
No, I'm sorry. He's at the bank.
Well, look, could you give me the number?
It wouldn't do any good. You couldn't reach him.
Well, when can I reach him?
Well, I could give him a message as soon as he gets home.
All right. Tell him to call immediately. I'll be waiting. My number here is code 901-555-5111. I'm in Toledo. Do you have that?
Yes. Any message?
Tell him it is literally a matter of life and death. Tell him that he's turned up again. That we were wrong. It isn't over and done with. Not by a long shot.
What do you mean? Hello? Hello? Mr. Stanley? Mr. Stanley, can you hear me? What's happened?
What time did Buck call?
About 4 o'clock.
Yeah, it's almost six now. He didn't say what it was all about?
Harry, I told you all he said.
What did he mean by he's turned up again?
Well, who else could it be but Joe Cogswell?
Then why didn't he just say that?
Well, I suppose because, well, he didn't think I would know what he was referring to.
Maybe. Why doesn't he answer? Buck?
What's this?
Is this Buck Stanley's wire?
Yes. Who wants to talk to him?
Well, this is a friend of his from Cleveland.
What's the name?
Harry Clark. Who's this?
This is Detective Sergeant Kennelly, Mr. Clark. I'm afraid you can't talk to Mr. Stanley.
Why not?
Because he's dead.
Dead? How?
Well, I can't answer that all the way. We just got here. All I know so far is he was shot with a .45 caliber revolver, Army issue.
You mean he took his own life?
I can't tell you that either. Sir, do you have any reason to suspect he might not have, that someone else was involved?
Well, I hope that any suspicions I might have are wrong. Where would I find you in Toledo, Detective Kennelly?
At the 17th Precinct, but...
I'd rather drive to Toledo and discuss that in person.
What's happened?
It's Buck Stanley. He's dead.
How?
That policeman on the phone said suicide.
Well, so why do you have to go to Toledo?
To see for myself, Helen.
Darling, this whole thing has become an obsession with you. Oh, I don't blame you. It was a terrible thing, that young boy meeting his death the way he did. But it was an accident.
An accident that would never have happened if he hadn't been scared out of his wits.
You are just determined to punish yourself for what happened, Harry. No matter what I say. Now, it's psychotic to carry such a guilt. It's an obsession.
Never mind about me, Helen. Let's just stick to Killer Joe Cosmo.
Whatever remorse he feels about that poor kid, Phil Fowler, is all swallowed up in his fixation that he took the whole blame and we railroaded him. If anyone has an obsession, it's him. And if I'm right, I have to be the next because I'm the only one left. Do you want him to kill me, too?
No.
All right, then somehow he's got to be stopped. That's why Toledo. To see if I can get the police to do it. Because if I can't...
If you can't?
Then I'll have to find him wherever he is and... kill him first.
You can see for yourself, Mr. Clark. It's a classical suicide picture. He was seated at the desk. The bullet was directed directly to the brain. Death was instantaneous. The gun dropped from his hand to the floor, and there are no other prints on it than those of the deceased. I'm afraid you've had a long trip for nothing.
In spite of what I told you?
We're checking all through that now, but... to the best of our knowledge, there was no one like the man you describe in Mr. Clayton's acquaintance. And we have no reason to suspect anything except death by his own hand.
You're absolutely sure of that?
Mr. Clark, in my business, you learn to be absolutely sure of nothing. We live by a series of educated guesses.
So you're just going to let this go with that?
No, sir. I don't close any files till I'm certain. Because of you, this one's going to remain open until...
Until what?
Until we check out this Joseph Coslow of yours.
Are you working on that now?
Mr. Clark, I'm only one detective sergeant in the Toledo police force. I got all I can handle with my own local problems. But for your information and my own, I am checking. But I can't do what you want me to do, get results yesterday or even today. You're just going to have to wait till tomorrow. And the best I can promise you is I'll stay on it and keep in touch.
It's awfully important to me.
Yeah. You drew me a picture.
I believe my life depends on it.
Sir, if I get word, I'll be in touch.
And if I don't hear from you?
Then we're both out of answers. And that's what we got to live with.
Yes?
Mrs. Clark, I'm M.J. Trimble.
Oh, yes, from the bank. Won't you come in?
Thank you, my dear. I just wanted to have a few words with your husband.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Harry isn't here.
Oh, he's not? Do you expect him home soon?
I'm afraid not. He had to drive to Toledo.
Oh, well, then you don't expect him back tonight.
I don't know. I'm waiting to hear from him.
What took him so suddenly to Toledo?
Well, he got news that an old friend, a fraternity brother of his, had died.
Joe Coslow?
Oh, no, his name was Buck Stanley. But why would you mention Joe Coslow?
I had some news about him, and I thought your husband would like to hear.
What?
Well, let me explain a little first. When I dragooned your husband into going up with me for homecoming, I had no idea what sad memories our fraternity had for him. Subsequently, I found out. In proposing him to return to our membership, the story came out.
That a young boy died.
Yes.
And who did you conclude was responsible for that, Mr. Trimble?
Well, if anyone... I'm ashamed to say, the system.
Well, that's a generous admission, but how does it help anyone who was the victim of the system, like my husband?
Well, since I'm part of the hierarchy, what else can I do but accept that the basic guilt is mine?
Well, it would be a little late to tell Harry that. He's borrowed all the guilt for himself.
Well, that's ridiculous, and it's why I'm here tonight.
Oh?
I wanted to tell Harry that the man who created this whole issue in the first place is dead.
Joe Coslow?
Yes. He's been dead for the last 5 years.
How?
Well, there was a fire in the jailhouse in which he was assigned 2 days before his sentence was up. In 1976, he died in that fire.
Are you sure?
There's no doubt. His body was identified through dental work and fingerprints, bone scans. Joe Carslow is dead. I wish there was some way I could get in touch with your husband.
Maybe there is. We could call him through that sergeant of police at the precinct in Toledo.
Yeah, this is Detective Sergeant Kennelly. Oh, Mrs. Clark, yeah, sure. Well, no, your husband was here, but he left to drive home to Cleveland over an hour ago. What? No. Well, we talked about the guy Carslow, but neither of us knew he was dead. He wanted me to look into that, but to tell you the truth, I told him I would just to keep him happy. Huh? Oh, well, because it was an open and shut case of suicide. No way it could have been murder, no matter how much your husband wanted to make it look that way. Right? What do I mean by that? Well, let me just lay it on the line, Mrs. Clark. Your husband has a guilty conscience for something that happened all them years ago. And he'd like to lay the blame off on somebody else. Only it don't work that way. That's something he's got to learn to face.
Midnight, Harry. This is my one day on Earth each year.
So it was you. It never was Joe Carslow who was looking for revenge. It was you all the time.
Quite right, Harry.
You killed them all.
Oh, no. Correction, please. They destroyed themselves, just as all of you destroyed me.
What did you mean when you said it was just as well I hadn't stopped to call Helen to tell her I was coming home?
Isn't that obvious? You're never going to get home.
I won't let you stop me.
Oh, I won't stop you. You'll do that yourself.
What do you mean?
You've lived with it for over 15 years, Harry. Just like the others. You know there's only one way you'll ever get rid of what haunts you.
How?
I never managed to join your fraternity. Instead, I ask you to join mine. It's the only way you'll ever know peace.
Tragic automobile accidents on the night of that October 15th. Highway police had issued a traffic advisory because of weather conditions. Harry Clark's death from the skid that sent him hurtling through the guardrail and into the ravine below was only another statistic. But was it an accident? Or was he called, just as all the others who bore the guilt for a boy's death so many years before? I'll be back shortly.
I'm Susan Anton.
It's a good feeling to sleep the night away on a perfect sleeper vibration.
PillowSoft is the ultimate in sleep. Unique extra thick cushioning to heavenly comfort on top. Ultra firm support inside. Perfect sleeper PillowSoft. Firmness that feels good.
Be a perfect sleeper. Buy a perfect sleeper. Perfect sleeper vibration.
Behind that blueberry face, under that chocolate chin, beneath the from the Mr. Glump and a watermelon grin, there's a beautiful child.
Wet Ones Moist Towelettes can help you find your beautiful child at the beach. Little hands and faces can get mighty sticky in the summertime, but Wet Ones go where you go for fast cleanups. Wet Ones clean better than anything dry.
Wet Ones, behind every beautiful face and hands, there's a beautiful child.
I can't wait to meet your daughter, sir.
Well, I'll call her. Evie!
What?
Come here, would you?
This better be good.
She's got a lot of spunk.
Yes.
What is it?
Evie, I'd like you to meet a nice young man.
Oh, no! My hair looks dirty. Daddy, how could you do this to me? I want to die!
I'm afraid her cream rinse makes her hair a little greasy.
May I suggest a Agree?
Of course you'd agree. All you have to do is look at her.
No, Agree cream rinse and conditioner. It helps stop the greasies.
Really?
Sure. After I shampoo, I use Agree cream rinse and conditioner. And
it helps stop the greasies.
Right.
Gee, it sounds like I would like Agree, too.
Well, Agree cream rinse and conditioner is 99% oil-free.
Evie, stop crying. I'll go get some Agree.
And after you use it, I'll drive you to the movies, okay, Evie?
No.
Why not?
Because you got a creepy car.
What?
It's a brown station wagon. I hate it.
Some conditioners contain oils that can cause the greasies, but Agree cream rinse and conditioner is 99% oil-free. And try Agree shampoo. It helps stop the greasies, too.
I'm glad you decided to come to the movie. Your hair looks great.
Thank you, and I love your station wagon.
Was our story one of deep remorse? I don't know. I leave you only with another quote from Omar Khayyam. The moving finger writes, and having writ, moves on. Nor all the piety nor wit shall lure it back to cancel half a line, nor all your tears wash out a word of it. Our cast included Jack Grimes, Malika Gray, Court Benson, and Russell Horton. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
In a few short months, the Homestead North at 755 Skokie Boulevard in Northbrook has become a favorite with North Shore residents. Everybody loves the Homestead's famous hickory smoked barbecue ribs and their varied lunch and dinner menus. And people working in the Northbrook area enjoy their delicious businessmen's lunches. When you don't feel like cooking but don't want to eat out, call 498-1900 and order ribs to go, daily except Monday. Get a full slab of those fantastic Homestead ribs with French fries and coleslaw for only $8.95. They're the hickory smoked barbecued ribs sold only at the Homestead North in Northbrook and the original Homestead at 121st and Vincennes in Blue Island. Next time you go to Ravinia, take along barbecued ribs from the Homestead North or their barbecued chicken, their breaded chicken, or sandwiches. For carryouts or reservations at the Homestead North, 755 Skokie Boulevard in Northbrook, call 498-1900. That's 498-1900.
CBS News. President Carter says neither he nor anyone in his administration has violated the law or committed any impropriety in Billy Carter's ties with the Libyan government. This is John Bohannon reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The president held a news conference Monday night to answer questions about Billy Carter in Libya. In a statement at the opening of the news conference, Mr. Carter denied that his brother had anything to do with U.S. foreign policy.
There have been many press reports that Billy may have tried to influence U.S. policy on licensing aircraft to Libya or on other matters. I can say categorically that my brother Billy had no influence or effect on my decisions or on any U.S. government policy or action concerning Libya.
Reporters asked the president about Billy's efforts to work through Libya to try to gain the release of the American hostages in Iran.
I think it's completely appropriate for Rosen to have thought about how we could get the hostages released and to have called Billy to see if he thought he could possibly help. When he said that he might be able to help, she informed me of that idea. I considered it. I'm the one that made the decision, not my wife or Dr. Brzezinski or anyone else. And I decided that it was a good idea.
Billy Carter was in America's Georgia listening to the president's news conference. He said the president's comments were the truth. The president said he thought Billy was prepared to answer questions about what happened to the $220,000 he got as a paid agent of Libya, but Billy Carter responded with no comment. President Carter answered some questions Monday night about the race for the White House. We'll have that when CBS News continues.
Hey, what was that all about?
Oh, the smoke alarm. Those cigarettes you're puffing on set it off.
Some joke, Tony.
Yeah, well, those yellow stains on your teeth are no joke.
What do you mean?
Here, take this white handkerchief.
Yeah?
Now blow some cigarette smoke through it. See?
Oh, that sure stained the handkerchief. No wonder my teeth look so dingy.
Yeah, you better get some Topol.
Topol?
The smoker's tooth polish. I got some for my wife, and you should see the difference.
Yeah?
And she smokes a pack of cigarettes a day.
Topol, the smoker's tooth polish. Used regularly, it helps remove all kinds of superficial yellow tobacco stains. Topol's foaming action and polishing agent start to work immediately to clean your teeth. Just use Topol week after week and watch your teeth get brighter and brighter.
Hey, Ralph, what are you doing? Buy the store out?
No, I'm stocking up on Topol. Hey, ever since Phyllis noticed my pearly teeth, she's got the whole family using Topol. Even my mother-in-law.
Get Topol, the smoker's tooth polish. Now available in 3-ounce regular or 7-ounce fluoride. Use only as directed.
During his news conference Monday night, President Carter said he had no plans to give in to demands that he release his convention delegates for an open convention. The president again called such a move a brokered convention. GOP candidate Ronald Reagan is in New York City to speak Tuesday morning before the National Urban League Convention. Running mate George Bush spoke to members of the National Medical Association Monday night in Dallas. Richard Roth has details.
Bush's inaugural speech as the Republican vice presidential nominee reworked several of the themes he had struck during his primary campaign for the presidential nomination. He accused the Carter administration of what he called a shameful and potentially dangerous failure to provide jobs for blacks and minorities, and charged the administration with having an established policy of disregard for unemployed blacks. The speech here and running mate Reagan's scheduled address to the Urban League tomorrow are the opening salvos in the Republican campaign's announced strategy of courting votes among minority groups and other traditionally Democratic strongholds. Bush's reception here before an organization representing 9,000 black physicians was polite. Richard Roth, CBS News, with the Bush campaign in Dallas.
Hurricane Allen is about 250 miles south of San Juan, Puerto Rico. The hurricane devastated the Caribbean island of San Lucia. At least 8 people were killed and hundreds of homes were damaged. The Speaker of the Iranian Parliament says prosecutors should begin plans for trials against the American hostages in retaliation for nearly 200 Iranians being held in the U.S. They were arrested more than a week ago during demonstrations in Washington. Ford Motor Company has formally asked the federal government to limit car and truck imports from overseas. Ford filed a petition with the International Trade Commission asking that Japanese shipments be limited to 931,000 cars a year. Last year, Japan imported about 1.7 million cars into the U.S. Now this.
Do you have cash you'd like to invest sensibly? Then you should know about Dreyfus Liquid Assets, the money market fund that combines your money with that of other investors to earn the kind of high interest rates large investors enjoy. Start with as little as $2,500, then make additional investments as low as $100. With Dreyfus Liquid Assets, your money, or as much of it as you need, is yours whenever you need it. Phone for it, write a check for cash, or to pay your larger bills. You keep right on earning till the check clears. No charge or penalty for withdrawal. No sales fee, not even a charge for the checks. Today you owe it to yourself to earn as much as you can on your money. Call today, 800-228-5000, for a prospectus, including management fee, charges, and expenses, and a clear, concise explanation of how Dreyfus Liquid Assets helps you get the lion's share from today's money market. Read the prospectus carefully before you invest. 800-228-5000. Toll free, 800-228-5000.
At the annual Hobo Convention in Britt, Iowa, delegates chose a new king and queen, Sparky Smith and Cinder Box Cindy. Apparently, the hobo business is ho-hum these days. Only 20 hobos showed up for the convention. But the spectator business is still thriving. More than 10,000 people turned out to watch the event. John Bohannon, CBS News.
This is your White Sox station, Sports Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
It's 11:33 in Chicago, and this is Alan Bickley on News Radio 78.
This is Spectrum on the CBS Radio Network. Personal opinion on issues of public interest from six different viewpoints. Now one of those perspectives.
I'm Kevin Phillips. Just when we start to forget what a crazy election calendar this country has, just when we start to forget the cockamamie fashion by which we nominate and elect our presidents, something always comes along to remind us. This time it's the Billy Gates scandal and the desperate attempt of a growing number of Democrats to rid themselves of Jimmy Carter. In Washington, and I suspect all over the country as well, Democrats are asking themselves, how can we nominate this man again, and why should we have to? But as these same Democrats privately lament, they probably will have to. Although the election is not until November, the Democratic National Convention will be dominated not just by a sitting president, but by delegates elected in primaries in March and April and May. Even if they wanted to change their minds now, most of them can't. Any more than those rank-and-file Democrats who elected them can change their minds and demand new primaries. It seems crazy when a party doesn't have the flexibility to respond to new leadership pressures and circumstances for roughly 4 or 5 months before the election, yet that's the case. On the Republican side, moreover, remember that back in March, former President Gerald Ford considered jumping into the Republican race, but his advisors told him, among other things, that it was probably too late. The former president was just too late to get on many primary ballots. Third candidate, John Anderson, has also been up against the calendar. When he decided to run for president as an independent in April, the filing deadlines in five states had already passed. As of today, it looks like the courts are going to set these unfair restrictions aside, but the final verdicts aren't yet in. The Billy Carter Libya scandals and the frantic efforts of many leading Democrats to come up with a new candidate will probably serve to remind many Americans just how foolish and inflexible our presidential selection system is. But even without the new evidence of the danger of being locked into a nomination too early, there's also the larger question of what kind of men we attract to such a long, drawn-out process. For a politician to have a chance at the presidential nomination, he has to begin his campaign a year and a half or even 2 years before the actual election. Few men are willing to do that, save the George McGoverns, Richard Nixons, and Jimmy Carters. So let me ask, why can't we have four regional primaries in June and July, the conventions in August, and the election 10 weeks later? It would be so much better. I'm Kevin Phillips for Spectrum.
Six personal points of view on Spectrum. Opinions not necessarily those of this station or the CBS radio network.